8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Wow. I don't think I've ever preached from the scripture. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach from the scripture. But we're going to do it today. However, I'm not going to focus just on that part. Okay? For bodily exercise profiteth little. It means it does help, folks. Okay? It does help. Help us, Lord. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Would you pray and ask God to speak to you today? Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your presence that we feel in this house and how you're moving and touching lives. We pray that your will be done in us, God. We pray that you would minister and move as you see fit. And Lord, that your will be done in every life. Help us to respond to your presence, that at the end of the service we would come to this altar and that we receive whatever it is that you have for us, God. We give you all the praise and all of the glory. In your precious name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. It was in 2001 that author Robert Miles published a book entitled 101 Reasons to Own the World's Greatest Investment, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. 101 Reasons to Own the World's Greatest Investment, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. The book offers insights into what makes the company Berkshire Hathaway so profitable, and why shareholders get such value for owning stock in it. The author proclaims that this one company is ideal for virtually everyone to own, thus deeming it the greatest investment. Berkshire Hathaway Incorporated is a holding company headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska, that owns, among others, Geico, Helzberg Diamonds, Pampered Chef, Duracell, along with many other companies. It is also a significant shareholder in American Express, Coca-Cola, Wells Fargo, IBM, Apple, and in major airlines. Berkshire Hathaway has averaged an annual growth of 19% to its shareholders since 1965, compared to 9.7% from the S&P 500 over the same period. The company is known for its leadership by Warren Buffett, who has been called the Oracle of Omaha because of his genius in investing. Buffett became the majority shareholder of the company in 1964 when the stock was only $19 per share. $19 per share. As of this week, the stock is worth $273,139 per share. That means if you had invested $1,000 with Warren Buffett back in 1964, today that $1,000 would be worth close to $14.5 billion. Today, Warren Buffett has a net worth of $78.2 billion. And he has given away nearly $32 billion to charity. At a question and answer session at the company's shareholder meeting in 2008, someone asked Warren Buffett if he knew and had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Without hesitation, the account says that he responded, he said, "No, I'm an agnostic. I don't know whether there is a God or not. Maybe when I die, I will find out, but I don't know." How this account so reminds us today of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I realize today that the modern investment circles might place the crown of absolute investments on Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway. But I believe there to be an even greater investment today, a greater investment that we must consider in our portfolio. And so I preach to you today simply the greatest investment. The greatest investment. Ever since man was created, he's been asking himself the same question. Does it pay? Does it pay? A new job opportunity comes along and a man asks himself, what does it pay? We consider buying a newer car to replace the older one and we ask ourselves, does it pay to make this transition? A young person finishes high school, considers going to college, and perhaps 4 years or more, they think of all the hard work, all of the investment of time and money, and they ask, will it pay? A businessman receives a proposition for a new venture and considers the possible outcomes and how it answers that question, will it pay? The question determines so much in life. We want to know, will it pay? In other words, what's in it for me? What's in this for me? Is this worth it? Well, what about living for God today? What about being a Christian? In this, the greatest decision that we could ever make, giving our heart to the Lord, let me ask you, does it really pay to give up sin and to come to the Lord and live as a Christian? Does it really pay to forsake this world and to live for Jesus? Hey, what's in it for us? What's in it for me? And what's in it for you? Is it worth it? I tell you, there's many reasons that we would come to the Lord and be a Christian, but I want to tell you first and foremost, we've got to realize today that there is a reward, there is a return on this investment that's greater than anything else the world can offer. I tell you today, this is the greatest thing that we could invest our lives in. This is the absolute greatest investment that there has ever, ever been. Why would someone want to become a Christian? Of course, the love of God is reaching for us. Of course, there's the desire that we all have within us to live right. And maybe it's a longing to serve God or to serve others. But the majority of us, at some point, we had some consideration somewhere along the way, and we added up the cost, and we looked at the reward, and we determined, yes, it pays to live for Jesus. Yes, it's worth it to become a Christian, because he has everything that we need. Hey, we were in search of forgiveness. We were looking for hope. We needed peace. We longed for everlasting life. And when we come to Jesus, he supplies all our needs. Oh, don't you love Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, I want to tell you, it pays to be a Christian. It really is worth it. What's in it for me? Everything I could ever imagine. It pays to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul had been a Christian for many years, and one day someone must have asked him if it had really been a worthy investment. And in our text that we read today, we read of his words of how it pays to serve the Lord. It's profitable, not only for this life that now is, but in the life and in what is to come. I believe today that every person who gives their life completely to the Lord, who is faithful to Him, who is dedicated to God, they will answer this question the same way that Paul did. Yes, it pays to be a Christian. This is the greatest thing that I could have ever invested in. It's a profitable investment for this life here on earth, and even beyond that, for the eternity that is to come. This is the greatest investment that there is. This is the greatest investment we could ever make in the physical sense today. It doesn't mean that once we become a Christian, that we never have any problems. It doesn't mean that all of our diseases and physical trouble automatically disappear. It doesn't mean that we're immediately healthier just because we come to the Lord. Now, there are times, of course, that miraculous, supernatural healing power does touch His people. But I want to tell you, it is true that a Christian will live a cleaner life. We are to treat our bodies as the temple of the Holy Ghost, and by not putting things into the body that do it harm, we will live by the principles which bring better health. On the one hand, you have someone who goes to bed at night, and they go to bed at a decent hour. They lay their head on the pillow in peace and in comfort, and they get a good night's sleep. Yet on the other hand, someone stays up until well after midnight and drinking and partying and intoxicated by the pleasures of sin. In the morning, they can't see clearly, and they can't think because of the hangover, and they're so messed up the next day. They're really no good at work, and they're no good at home. And while the first person who doesn't live that way, they wake up fresh and they wake up rejuvenated. They feel fine. The life that many lost people live, it's not really conducive to good health. Some of you remember those days. You remember the long nights. You remember the drunkenness and the empty highs. You remember coming down from that high and how lonely you felt. And you can remember the foggy brain the next day and wishing you'd not been so stupid the night before. Yet time and time again, you found yourself repeating that same cycle, that same damaging behavior, because you were a slave to sin. But thank God for deliverance. Thank God for setting us free. Thank God for this life as a Christian. I want to tell you, when you decide to live for Jesus, hey, there's some blessings that come physically. There's some things you don't have to worry about. There's some struggles you don't have to bear, because this is the body that is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to put things into this body that's going to damage it. And there's a blessing of health that comes along with that. Sin damages the health of the body. For a large percentage of people that die before their time, it is directly related to sin. Perhaps you've seen the effects of smoking upon the lungs. Lungs are supposed to be pink and healthy. Healthy lung tissue is elastic and expands easily when we breathe in. But tobacco and the chemicals in cigarettes change the cellular structure of the lungs. The elastic walls break down, and the lungs aren't as easily able to make the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. And people suffer with shortness of breath. This, beside all the other dangers of smoking, like cancers and heart attacks and strokes. Perhaps you've seen the pictures of the lungs of a smoker, how they're black with the tar of those cigarettes. And I want to tell you, that's such a reminder of what sin does to our lives. It blackens our life with the effects of sin. Don't ever underestimate the physical benefit of being in the church. Don't ever underestimate the blessings physically of being in the church and rejecting the sinful habits of the world. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for deliverance from sin. Thank God for this body that He's given us to house His Spirit. God, help us to honor the temple of the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell somebody today, if you're struggling with addiction, whether it's cigarettes or pills or whatever it might be, or some type of drug, I want to tell you that God wants to deliver you today. God's power is greater than any addiction. God's power is greater than the chains of darkness. His supernatural power wants to reach down in this house and remove the desire for sin from you and break those chains of darkness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that He delivered me. Aren't you thankful that He delivered you? And He wants to set people free here today. He wants to remove the curse of sin. He wants to remove the chains of darkness. Hallelujah. Hey, this is the best investment we could ever make. Hallelujah. And this is the greatest investment we could ever make financially. Oh, it doesn't mean that we're going to be rich just because we live for the Lord. In fact, most Christians never make it. But God gives us enough. We serve a God who owns all the silver and the gold. And He's faithful to us. When we're faithful to Him in our finances, we have a promise that He's going to rebuke the devourer. It's more than just financial blessings. But He rebukes the devourer. He's going to rebuke the things of the world that would devour us, that would eat up our goods, that would cause them to be wasted and consumed. In 2 Chronicles, we read the account of King Hezekiah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He opened the doors of the temple which had been closed by his father. He brought back the priests and the Levites, and he charged them to sanctify themselves and to sanctify the temple. They began sacrifices again with burnt offerings unto the Lord. And he destroyed the idol worship in the kingdom. He also restored the practice of tithing and commanded that the people bring in the first fruits. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 in verse 5 through 10. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and His people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priest and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed His people, and that which is left is this great store. It pays to give the first fruits to the Lord. I tell you, it's the greatest financial investment that we could ever make into the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:19 tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, For where our treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to tell you, this is the greatest investment that we could ever make, investing into the kingdom of God. And beyond investing into eternity, think of what is saved here on this earth. A Christian is saved from wasting their money on so many sinful things of the world. Think of the sinful habits that many blow their finances on. Think of the expensive habit of smoking. Think of the vast amounts spent on alcohol. It is estimated that Americans spend more than $50 billion each year on alcohol and $80 billion each year on cigarettes. But Christians don't have that expense. What a great investment it is, living for the Lord. I tell you, it pays financially. Every once in a while, Sister McCoy will remind me. She needs a little money to go shopping every once in a while. And she said, you just need to remember how much I save you because we're in the church. Yeah, husbands, come on, we need to remember that. The makeup and the jewelry and the things of the world. Going to the salon every week to change your hair color. There's some blessings that go along with being in the church because we're not trying to fit in with the world. We're trying to please Jesus Christ. We're trying to be in the image that God made us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, this is the greatest thing going. This is the best life that we could ever live. Don't you be all down and depressed because we don't live by the way the world does. We're blessed today. We're blessed today. This is the greatest investment. Thank God that Christian husbands don't throw their money away on sin, causing their families to suffer. Thank God that Christian mothers don't waste the family's grocery money on sinful habits. This investment that we're making, I tell you, it pays off. It's the greatest investment we could ever make financially. Oh, it may not make sense to this world, but the principles of finance from the Word of God have been proven true time and time again throughout all of history. This is the greatest investment that we could ever make. Bible tells us it was the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. As the old saying goes, there really is a heaven to be gained and a hell to shun. But even if there was no ever after, even if there was no eternity, we know that's not true, but even if the grave was truly the end of it all, even then it would be more profitable to live as a Christian here in this life. I tell you, the happiest people in the world are those who don't spend their time chasing sin. Oh, I tell you, the world may think that they're happy. They may put on a happy smile and try to convince everyone around them that everything's good. But some of you remember that awful emptiness that sin brings. I tell you, the sinner is miserable compared to the Christian. The sinner lives with guilt and with shame and with hate. I tell you, the happiest and the most peaceful people on the earth are those who are living for Jesus Christ because they love righteousness. They love godliness. They live their life seeking goodness. The blessings of the Lord are upon them. This is the best way to live. It pays to be a Christian here in this life. It's the greatest investment we could ever make, but we won't realize the full value until we finally reach heaven. Only then will we fully comprehend God's goodness. Only then will we understand just what all we've been saved from. Only at that point will we really see all that we've received as a reward. Someone once said that in heaven, we will at last be able to understand the horrors of hell and the treasures of heaven. When we reach that place, we'll finally be able to understand all that God delivered us from and the full meaning of it. And only when we've been changed to be like the Lord will we fully be able to comprehend all the treasures that God has given us for eternity. And throughout all eternity, we will spend our lives thanking God and worshiping Him. We will be so glad that we gave our life to the Lord. When our life comes to an end, and when we reach that place, when we realize that we have just a little time left, and when we look back at our life, at the years that God gave us here on this earth, what will be the thing that matters most? What will be most important at the end of our lives? I assure you, it's not going to be how much money we made. It's not going to be about how many friends we had or how popular we were. It's not going to be about how nice of a house that we lived in. We will forget everything else in the light of eternity. And so we'll either be thankful, we'll either be so satisfied and so happy, or we'll be so horribly unhappy, so profoundly disappointed, so tragically unfulfilled. It all depends on how we live for the Lord right now. Did we live for the Lord, or did we choose the things of the world? At the end of life, we'll forget everything else because nothing else will matter. It's my prayer today that at the end, we'll be able to rejoice that we were born again. It's my prayer that at one point we will have found an altar and a place of repentance and made things right with God. It's my prayer that at the end of your life, you'll be able to point back to a day that you were baptized in the precious name of Jesus. You'll be able to take us back to the place where you lifted your hands in submission to God and He filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, there will be nothing else that's more important. But at the end of life, it'll be too late to do what we can freely do here today. Let me tell you, if you've not repented of your sins and turned from your sinful life, I wouldn't leave here today until you do so. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I would not go through those doors without making sure you're baptized today. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, don't you dare leave so until you come to this altar and you let the Lord fill you with the gift of His Spirit. This is the greatest investment that there ever is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank God for the safety of the church. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the church. Thank God for the hand that you've got upon our lives, because our lives are in the church. This is the greatest investment that there is. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, we read, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Sometimes the enemy would like to come and get us to join a pity party thinking about all that we've given to the Lord. Well, Lord, I sacrificed that. And Lord, I gave up that. And Lord, I invested that. And Lord, I gave in that offering, and I gave sacrificially to this, and I supported the church, and I did without that so that I could support the mission in motion. And all these things, the enemy would love to come, and he would love to sow seeds of doubt and fear and questions in our mind. Lord, why did I do that? And it seems that Lord, maybe that return didn't come back to me. But I want to tell you, the Lord knows what you've given to him. The Lord sees every sacrifice. Man may not understand it. Man may not know about it. But in heaven, our Lord and Savior realizes everything you've ever sacrificed. And you have a promise that not only in this life are you going to receive it back. It may not come back in the same way, but it may be a blessing of health. It may be a blessing of protection. It may be a blessing of safety upon your home. But hey, beyond this life, there's a blessing of eternal life. We can't put a price on it. Hey, it's the greatest investment that there ever could be, living for the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. But now being made freed from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you thankful for that today? I wonder if you'd stand with me in closing. Hallelujah. In the financial world, financial advisors recommend periodic reviews of investment portfolios. Today I stand before you, a pastor. I don't hold any licenses to sell securities. I used to in the business world, but now I've changed products. I can no longer recommend to you of how to shelter your money and the best mutual funds or companies to invest in. I realize there's a place for that. But today, I want to recommend to you an eternal investment. The greatest need for people saving for retirement is to be sure that their money lasts during their time here on this earth. Today, I want to recommend an investment that will truly last not only through our time here on this earth, but beyond, into eternity. This investment pays great rewards here in this life right now. Today you can receive the blessings and the benefits of living for God. But the best part of this investment is it will continue to pay on and on and on, rewards on throughout eternity. I want to recommend a review of our spiritual portfolio today. How are we investing our time, our talent, and our treasure? How are we investing our life? Are we investing our time into the things of God? Are we investing our talent for the work of the kingdom of God? And are we investing our treasure, not in earthly things, but into an eternal reward? Are we merely concerned with earthly things, with fleshly things? Or are we looking with spiritual eyes at the life that God would have us live? Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is the greatest investment you could ever make. This is the greatest thing that you could build your life around. This is the best foundation for your family. This is the greatest blessing that there ever could be for your home. Don't you dare pay more attention to the planning for retirement and the planning for a career and the planning for this and that in life. Don't pay more attention to those things than you do your eternal investment today. I wonder if we could find a place of prayer and say, God, I want to make sure that I'm investing in what's most important. I don't want to forget today that you come first in my life, that this life I'm living for you, Lord, it's more than just about today and tomorrow, but it's about eternity. It's about where I'm going to spend it, Lord, and I want to spend it with you.